Ephesians chapter 6. So we are finally to the last chapter. It's been 15 months since we started in Ephesians. And it's been good. I love this book. It's the reason I wanted to go through it. And now that we're in the final chapter, kind of makes me sad that it's getting near an end, but I love the conclusion of the book. It's as if Paul just knew exactly, it's really practical, just knew what to say. He just loaded them up with doctrine in the first three chapters, and then he really gets practical, and he gets extreme, really brings practicality home, and I literally mean to your home in this text, because it's about children and parents in chapter 6, verses 1. Through 3. So, I'm going to read the text and then we're going to pray. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We trust that you have a plan and you have work to do here this morning. Being a child is hard. Being a parent is harder. And doing all those things while we follow you is just difficult. So, give us the grace for it to be easier. And when it's not and we fail, give us even more grace. I pray for children here today who are ready to hear from you, that you would soften their hearts to your truth. They would receive it and obey it. For parents, I pray that you would change the way we perceive our children. Change the way we encourage us and the way that we love them. And for those who fit neither of those groups, that we would be the community that surrounds these families to strengthen them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And we wonder why they disobey. I mean, like, the Bible literally says your children have something in them that will make them not do good things. All of them, okay? They have foolishness bound up in their heart from the beginning. Not to mention the sinful nature, which is why they have foolishness. So parents, I do not want you to be discouraged by this, because the next part of this verse is very encouraging. Proverbs, the second half of Proverbs 22:15 says, but the rod of discipline drives it far from them. It drives foolishness far from them. So, obedience is not an automatic behavior of your children. They don't just automatically obey. It's not their default to be good. They're just like you are. Our default is to be bad. From the beginning of our lives, we're trained by our sinful nature to sin. And that is why they have you, parents. Because your children have foolishness and sin bound up in their heart. And the only way to change it is to discipline them, to train them, to teach them. To teach them to obey. So parents, do not, here's the reality. I don't want you to think, parents, that this week is about children and obeying. I'm going to talk to you parents too. And next week, he's talking to fathers and to parents and how they behave in respect to their children. So the next 2 weeks will be really a family message. And I don't want you to think, parents, that this sermon is going to fix your kids' obedience problems. Okay, this one message, is it going to change their behavior? I think it might, the hope is that it will spur them on to changed behavior. But here's my point. You want your children to obey, you have to train them. You have to discipline them. You have to teach them. You have to invest in their obedience. Because there's foolishness wrapped up in here because they have sinful nature. And you have to unbind that foolishness and let it go. And it's a lot of work. Okay, you ever get a cord or like maybe like a yo-yo gets wrapped up in like, you know, a bunch of different, and you're just like, my kids always come to me, they got a string and it's like tight, like a tiny little string tied knot, really tight. And I'm like trying to pick it apart and try to pull that knot apart. It takes forever. That's what it's like to unbind the foolishness of your in your children's heart, to kind of just like pull one cord out and then you pull another string out, like when your hose in the backyard is all tangled up and you just can't get it undone. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes energy. It doesn't just happen like that. So children, for you, kids, y'all here listening to me, children, you have something in your heart that we call sin. And even if you're a Christian and you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the grave and you're going to heaven, amen, woo, for you kiddos. But you still have a sinful nature. We call it flesh, okay? A sinful nature, which makes it really hard for you to obey sometimes. So I'll give you an example. This is the funniest thing that ever happened to me as a parent. My middle child comes to me and I told him to do something and he didn't do it. And he walks up to me and he goes, Dad, just this, his face, it is kind of a head, you had to bend there kind of thing, but his face was just like totally dejected. Like he really meant the sincerity. He's like, Dad, I really want to obey you, but it is just so hard. And I looked at him, I'm like, welcome to Christianity. You know, and then I even told him, I said, yeah, man, you know, Paul, the guy who wrote a whole bunch of the New Testament, he said the same thing. He's like, oh, I want to do what I'm supposed to, but I don't, and I don't want to do what I'm not supposed to, and I do, and oh, it's just such a struggle, you know, and I share that as a teaching opportunity. But they got to, I mean, what my son was telling me was, Dad, I got a sin nature, and it is a tough battle between the Holy Spirit and the flesh. They're battling in me. he didn't even realize the magnitude of his comment. And so kids, God gave you parents who love you, okay? So you've got this sin nature in you that wants to do sin, and you, if you're a Christian, you've got the Holy Spirit in you who wants to do good. Galatians 5 kind of pictures it kind of like a tug of war, not like your flesh is stronger than the Spirit, but that we are in sin trying to pull our flesh back in against the Spirit. And so God gave you parents, kids, who love you. And they demand that you obey because they're training you to be like Jesus. They're training you for godliness. They're trying to remove that foolishness from your heart. So kids, listen to your parents and learn to obey them. Why do I need to listen to my parents and obey them? I'll tell you why. Paul tells us why. The Lord tells us why. Verse 1. He says, children. Okay, raise your hand if you're a child under 18 years old. Okay, raise your hand. Keep it up. Good. Good number. If your hand is up, this is written for you. This is what the Lord says. You can put your hands down, kids. Good job. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, these verses are addressed to children. So, kids, again, listen up. This is the command. God commands you very simply, obey your parents. Why do I need to obey my parents? Why do you need to obey your parents? God has reasons, kids, for you to obey your parents, and your parents have reasons for you to obey them. So I'll give you God's reason, and then I'll give you your parents' reason. So God's reason for you to obey, right at the end of verse 1, because it is right. That's what he says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord for, or because it is right. Because it's the right thing to do. Meaning it's righteousness. Righteousness is perfection, is doing right. Okay, the root word in righteousness is right. It's doing right. It's being right with God. It's doing the good thing, the godly thing, the biblical thing, which means if obeying is right, kids, look at me. I want you guys to help me out. So I want you to fill in the blank for me, kids. Okay? You can shout it out really loud. If obeying is right, then disobeying is
wrong.
Yeah! All right. Good job. Okay. So it is therefore wrong to disobey, right? And God loves righteousness because God is righteous. And he is right in all ways and perfect in all ways. And he wants you to enjoy his perfection. And so after he makes you right with him through Jesus Christ and you're saved, he wants to mold you into the perfection of his son, Jesus. And one of the ways he does that is through your obedience. And he gives you parents who love you to help you do that obedience. See, kids, God has a wonderful plan for you. And it involves things like, take out the trash. You don't like to hear that, but that's God shaping you into the person that he wants you to be, like his son, Jesus. So, that's God's reason. He has more reasons, but this verse, he only gives us that one. Parents have reasons too. Your parents want you to obey I'll give you four reasons why your parents want you to obey. Number one, kids, your parents, number one reason why, not in any particular order, but one reason why your parents want you to obey because your parents want you to honor God. They want you to honor God. They want you to respect him. They want you to obey him. They want you, and you honor God and you respect God and you obey God when you obey your parents. Number two, your parents also want you to honor them, and they want to be honored by you. They deserve honor as your parents because they deserve respect as your parents. So to honor your parents is to respect them by obeying them. There are other ways to honor your parents and respect your parents, but particularly through obedience. Number three, parents know what is best for you. You've probably heard that from them before. I know what's best for you, right? Listen to me, I know what's best for you. I'm only doing this because it's best for you. I used to hate hearing that. I'm like, I don't care. I want to sin. I didn't say it like that, but that's what was really going on in my heart. Okay, but my parents know what's best for me. Your parents, they know what's best for you. So when parents say, don't touch the stove, is it because they don't want you to have the privilege of turning the stove on? No, they know that the stove can be dangerous. So don't touch the stove. It's a command that you have to obey. And then in your heart, kids, you're like, well, I don't want to obey my parents. I want to, ooh, they told me I can't touch the stove. What would happen if I did? There's something in us that just makes us want to do the thing that we're not supposed to do. I saw this experiment on TV where they put these adults in a room with a big giant red button. It was almost ridiculous and said, don't push this button. I'm leaving. I'm leaving for just 5 minutes. And they put a timer on. Don't push this giant red button. If you do, and then they have a cat in a cage. If you do, this cat will die. And then they do all these kind of like, they set up the whole atmosphere to kind of bring that person back to their childhood. It's a kind of psychology experiment, right? And they play this like music from back when they were a child every time. They couldn't resist, bam. And then they back away from the cat, like, I can't believe I just killed that cat. They didn't really kill the cat. It was just totally a scam. But every time, grown adults couldn't help it, bam, hit the red button. It's like it is just in us. We can't help but hit the red button. It's like it's in our button says sin, and we're like, I shouldn't do this. Oh, that felt so good. All right, that's just the way we are. And our parents, kids, your parents, they look at you and they're like, don't touch the red button. And you're over the red button, like, oh my gosh, it's so red. Why do they make this button red all the time? Like, they should totally change the color of emergency buttons. I might confuse everybody. But, you know, you kids, you have this desire to do sin, and your parents are giving you commands to keep you from sin. They were trying to train you into righteousness because they know what's best for you. So listen to them because they know. And number four reason why your parents want you to obey is because they want what is best for you. They know what is best for you, and they also want that thing. They want what is best for you. We know what is best for you, so we demand obedience. We know what is best for you, so we demand obedience. And we want what is best for you, so we explain obedience to you. We give you an explanation of why you need to obey and what you need to do. But sometimes kids, and I find this with my own kids, their lack of understanding why makes them kind of pause. Like, I don't know if I should obey this. I don't understand it. Here's something. Kids, just understand this. When your parents give you a command, first, obey. That's your first thing to do is to obey. That's it. You obey it first. Okay? And then if you have questions, you can ask, okay, why do you not want me to touch the stove? Or take out the trash, and you're like, and kids, you're like, why? That's not, nope, wrong question. The answer is, yes, Dad, right? So I have this interaction with my kids often, and it's frustrating because, you know, if you give your child a command and their first question is why, sometimes it sounds very disrespectful. It's like, hey, would you please clean the bathroom? Why? You mean, yes, Dad? Excuse me? Did you just come here, right here, stand right in front of me? No, I'm just kidding. And so we have these conversations at home, and I'm sure you guys do too, and it's part of the training process. And so I tell my children, and you should too, don't ask me why, just do it. Or if the question why is really pertinent to you obeying me, you should begin with, yes, Dad, I would love to obey you. Can you tell me why I have to? That one I'll take. That one I accept. And you better be smiling when you say it. All right, so, okay. These kids, sometimes they don't obey because they're truly curious. Sometimes it's just a disrespectfulness and they don't want to do it. Why? I don't want to do that. And sometimes it's, why? Like, I don't get this. Why am I doing this? And we have to train our children. You obey me first. Because if you don't obey me first and your first reaction, you're training, if you're allowing your kids to be trained to question you first, what happens when they're running full speed into the road and there's a truck coming and you can see it and they can't? You're like, stop! And they're like, why? And you're like, because there's a truck! Oh, you know. That's dangerous. I mean, you're talking about the life of your child. So, we train them to obey first. That's hard. And let me tell you, it works best when you start at like 1 month old. And I'm not kidding. It's really hard. It's really hard to take your 1 month old's hand and, you know, put something in front of them that they're not supposed to have. And it sounds kind of mean. And say no and train them and just boop. Their little finger, like, nope, you know, nope. It's hard because they're little babies and they're so cute. So we wait till they're not cute anymore, which is like 9, right? My 9-year-old just looked at me like, what? You told me I was cute. All right. You're handsome now, son, okay? We just transitioned. All right. So if you wait that long, you're toast. I mean, you're in trouble, really. So we train, and I mean this honestly, and for some of you are thinking, all my kids are like, you know, older, or, you know, they're way beyond infancy, so what do I do now? Just keep training them. Just keep training them, and you just talk to them. And if they're old enough to have a conversation, understand it, you say, every time you need to obey me, I tell you, I give you command, just do it. You have a question, ask me when you're done, or say, yes, Dad, I'd love to do it. Would you please tell me why? And my response is usually, no, just do it, all right? So I'll tell you later, right? And I'm usually a little nicer. And so those are the reasons, kids, why your parents want you to obey them. So verse 2, Paul goes on, he quotes this Old Testament passage. It's the fifth commandment. It's from the law. And he says, honor your mother and father. Honor your father and mother. And he has this parenthetical statement. This is the first command with a promise. So that's Paul. Those are Paul's words. Paul's words are, this is the first command with a promise. And God's words back in Exodus chapter 20 is, honor your father and mother. That's the fifth commandment. And then Paul stops and kind of interrupts the commandment, say, oh, and by the way, this is the first one that has a promise. And then verse 3 is the promise. So Paul takes us back to where God's heart is at. God's heart is really revealed in the law, his desire for righteousness. We just can't measure up to it. So this law of obedience for children is what God's heart is at. It's just kids have a hard time doing it. So, children, why do you need to? So the verse says, honor your father and mother. Why do you need to honor your dad and mom? Three reasons. Number one, because God commands you to. It's that simple. He tells you to do it, you do it. God is your God. He's your authority. He's your supreme ruler. He's your creator. What he says, you do. So at first, let's just start there. Because he says so. Because God says so. Because he commands you to honor your parents, you should. Reason number two why you should honor your dad and your mom. Honoring your parents is practice for honoring God. Okay, honoring your parents, kids, is practice for honoring God. And parents, you must honor God as an example for your children to obey authority. We disobey God and wonder why our kids are disobeying us, right? So parents, it's important that in our role of honoring our kids honoring us, we must honor God as well. And this word honor in verse 2, it's the same word Jesus uses when he says he honors his father in John 8:49. So it's the same kind of honoring the son has for the father. And Jesus' honor for his father, listen, was not just obedience for the sake of obedience. Jesus' honoring of his father was a desire to obey. Jesus wanted to obey his father. That is a elemental difference. It is a key difference. He loves his father. He wanted not only to obey, but he wanted to honor him. Jesus wanted to satisfy his father. He wanted to please his father. He wanted to bring joy to his father's heart. And he knew that in order to do that, he must want to desire to obey. And he did. And that's how he honored his father. So children, you must obey your parents. But your parents don't only want obedience. They want to obey. Okay, kids, look at me. Two things. Number one, obey your parents. Number two, want to obey your parents. Every time you think about obeying your parents, you just say to yourself over and over again, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. I don't know if that really works or not. Okay, but God wants to develop in you a desire to obey. Like, oh, my father or my mother just gave me a command, and if I obey them, it brings pleasure to their hearts, and it honors God. Why would I disobey them? Well, we know why, because there's sin. And here, and sin goes, no. You want to do what you want to do, remember? And God's like, no, I want you to do what your parents want you to do. So I want you to obey your parents and want to obey your parents. When you obey your parents because it's a joy to obey your parents because you want to do it, you truly honor them. Now, Jesus talked about this a little bit in Matthew 15, and he says, he's talking about the Pharisees, and he actually quotes this fifth commandment to honor your father and mother, and he kind of relates it to the way the Pharisees behave, because the Pharisees behave like someone who obeys this command. Pharisees behave like a child who obeys their parents, but their heart's not in it. And Jesus says this in Matthew 15:8, he says, this people's honors me with their lips. They're doing it. They're honoring me. They're behaving. I gave them commands. They're doing the commands. They're saying what they're supposed to be saying. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're following my law. Jesus goes on to say, but their heart is far from me. That is a very important distinction. If I say to my child, go do this chore, and they go, ugh, fine. And they do this whole, like, you know, like they're dying, like their body's just, you know, like they ran out of leg power. I don't know what that is. Okay? When that happens, are we satisfied? Like, yes, they obeyed. We're like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with my child, right? I mean, we're not satisfied with that. That doesn't please us. Kids, when we say please, you know, when we tell our children, do this or do that, I know it is, I mean, this sounds, for some parents, this sounds like a dream. But we expect this. Yes, Dad. Like, big old hat, I'd love to, right? And it just doesn't always happen that way because you never know what mood your kids are in, and there's a whole bunch of factors involved, including their desire to be selfish. Sometimes I tell my kids, you know, I'll call their name, they don't come to me. That's weird. Call again, they don't come to me again. I'm like, okay. I'm going to give them a lot of grace and call it one more time. And I'm going to raise my voice a little higher this time, give them the benefit of the doubt. And I raise my voice and I call their name. And then what do I hear from like a mile away? What? Like, come here. And then they come here and they're like, number one, don't ever yell what at me like that. Number two, when you hear your name, you come to me. Number three, you should have heard me the first time. And what is the response every time? I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. And this is what I tell my kids. There is no voice in this universe that is higher than my voice in your life. And I say that lightheartedly, but I mean that with all of my heart. Because I speak on behalf of God in your life. I am your father and your mother's voice as well. I am your authority. When I speak, all voices in the vicinity shut down. And if you don't hear my voice, that's on you. So the next, because let's be honest. The reality is when they say, oh, I didn't hear you, they're lying. Okay, first of all, they're lying. They're full of it. They heard you. They just, you know, kind of blocked you out. But I tell them, the next time you hear my voice, I better see you in front of me. That's the kind of obedience I demand. Now, that's something we work on. It takes time and progress, right? And so, you know, I firmly believe in being extremely gracious with your kids, but you're trying to train them. So parents, let's train our children to hear our voices as a command, as if God were speaking to them, because we're commanding the truth of God into their lives. And so when kids hear our, when they learn that, you know what they learn? They're learning to love your voice. They're learning to love your commands. And when all of a sudden they hear their name shouted from across the room, and they come running to you because they want to hear what Dad has to say. They want to hear from you. They want to please you. I'll give you an example with my dog. I mean, dogs are a lot like kids. Very different, okay? But dogs are a lot like kids in the sense that you're training them to obey you. So my dog, Bailey, I watched her, and we put a lot of work into training her. I watched her. She was in the backyard, and there were a bunch of kids walking down the street. And they're probably like 200 feet away. And she sees them and stops. And she's never gone after anybody before. And she took off at them full speed. And the mom who had the kids saw it, and she yells to her kids, kid, come here, come here, come here. She was telling her kid to come here because she saw my dog running full speed at her kid. And I just went like this, Bailey. That's her name, Bailey. And she just stopped, turned around, and came right back to me. I was like, oh, I'm really glad that worked. Woo! Oh, man. And she came to me, and she she came to my feet with her tail wagging. Because I read, right when we got her, you will never train your dog to be responsive with discipline. Now, punishing. Now, that's different than rearing your children, okay? I'm not saying that's the way you should deal with your children. But what I taught her was the pleasure of coming to her master. And so what I read was, every single time your dog does something you want, you reward it. And so I'd be like, I would just train her. I'd just be all over the place and be like, Bailey, come. And she'd come to me. I'd be like, oh, good girl. And I'd give her a snack and, you know, pet her endlessly. And I still work on it, reminding her constantly. So when she was running after something that looked like fun to her, she was no way she's going to hurt that kid. She doesn't hurt anybody. She's running after this kid, probably to lick his face, right? She hears my voice and she goes, oop, highest joy. I just heard my master's voice. What could be better? Stop. Turn around. That is what we want from our kids. Now, that's not easy. It takes training and time. And usually what happens is they turn 30 and they go, you were right, Mom and Dad. I wasn't very good. All right, and so, no, my prayers for parents to have that ability and longevity and patience with your kids to get there. So reason number three, why you need to obey your parents, kids, because Paul says it's the first command with a promise. Okay? The promise that Paul's referring to is the promise God made with the children of Israel. When I say the children of Israel, I don't mean the people of Israel, I mean the kids of Israel. After Israel left Egypt, they're in bondage for 400 years, and they left Egypt, they're wandering the desert for 40 years, and they're about to enter the promised land. And God says to the kids in Israel, verse 3, if you obey me, if you honor your parents, you can have verse 3. And verse 3 is, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So there's two parts to this promise. It will go well with you, meaning it will be good. The time, your time in the land will be good. And you will live long in the land. So good and long. Those are the two parts of the promise. For the children of Israel, the young people of Israel, to obey their parents while they wander for 40 years. You obey your parents for 40 years, they're going to die and not go in for their disobedience. And you kids can go in and it will be good for you and it will last long. That's the promise. So this whole situation with obedience being required to live long in the promised land was just a picture of something more perfect, more complete. It's a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of Jesus in the church. The promised land was an Old Testament picture of our eternal life. The land that God promised to Israel is an image of what God promises Christians, eternal life. So our promised land is eternal life. And Paul is imaging us back to the promise to the Israelite children for their obedience. And he's showing us, what does it mean for the Christian today and the relationship with God and the gospel and obedience and eternity? Hebrews 4:8 says, if Joshua had given them rest. Now, Joshua led them into the promised land. If Joshua had given them rest, and the promised land is a promise of rest. Especially after 440 years of captivity and work. Oh my gosh, they worked so long. They built so much of Egypt. They were slaves. They were beaten. And then 40 years, they finally get free and they got to wander the desert? Can I get a break? And I was like, yes, in the promised land. But then you're going to war. So it wasn't a very long rest. But the land was plentiful and replenishing to them and to their nation. And God gave them land. And so it was a land of rest. So Joshua leads them into the promised land, which is rest. So Hebrews 4:8 says, if Joshua had given them rest, meaning Joshua did not give them rest. If Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. What is that day? It's the day of the Lord. It's the day that we enter eternity with Christ. So Israel entering the promised land under Joshua is a picture of the church entering eternity under Jesus. How cool is that? So Israelite children obeying their parents were promised entrance, good and long life in the promised land, which is a picture of the church obeying God so that we could enter life and eternity. Because eternity is good and it's long lasting. Now, there are two ways to understand this obedience. Okay, because it kind of raises this question. So if Israel entered the promised land and they get good and long time in the promised land, if they obey, and that's a picture of the church, then are you saying, Pastor Mark, that in order to go to heaven and enjoy eternity, we must obey? That kind of sounds like works. So I'm going to give you two perspectives here, two ways to understand this. One, obedience does earn our eternal life. Sounds like heresy. So what we have to understand is that the gospel is a call from God. Jesus said in Mark 1, 14 and 15, believe and repent. When you believe in Jesus, you're obeying the command to believe and repent. So in that sense, obedience is required to enter eternity. It's an obedience to which God calls us, and then he gives us, by grace, the gift of faith to believe, and we respond. Another way to understand this is that obedience does not earn our eternal life. Meaning just behaving and obeying and doing what's good and right does not produce enough righteousness. You're just not good enough. That's just what it comes down to. You're not good enough. You can't enter God's holy presence because you can't produce enough of your own righteousness. So we depend on grace, the grace of God, and faith in Jesus for us to have a life that goes well and so we can live long in the land of eternity. So, do we lose eternity if we don't obey? Well, the short answer is no, because the Holy Spirit, we learned this back in chapter 1, the Holy Spirit seals us with the promise, and the promise is this eternity. He seals you in it. And so what about my disobedience? That's really the question. I mean, how do I enter eternal rest? How do I enter the promised land for Christians if I continue to disobey, but I'm really a believer? If I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus, and I believe that I'm going to heaven, and I believe in the gospel, and I claim salvation in Jesus Christ alone. What about when I just continue to disobey? I believe Paul answers that question in Philippians 1:6. He says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will, not might, not maybe, not probably, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Meaning the day when you go home, he will have completed you to exactly where he wants you. God will have your obedience if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. He will get it from you. He will find a way. Maybe that sin that is just festering in your heart right now, that you're thinking that's the disobedience that I'm thinking of, that he says he's going to get for me before he takes me home or before he returns. Whatever that thing is, he's going to get it. He's going to get your obedience. And you're thinking, well, what if he doesn't? Well, let's not go there right now, because that has too many implications that I don't want to go down. But I'm just going to say this. He will bring it to completion. He will get it from you. And my encouragement to you is maybe right now is the means that he is using to get you. Maybe it's this word right now that is telling you it's time to obey. So, let me just bring this home quick for kids. Children, Children, I want your attention again. This is for you. It's really some practical, what can I do? So here's five things. Number one, kids, obey your parents. Sometimes it's hard, but if you believe in your heart, kids, listen to me. I need every child's attention because this is so important. It's the most important thing in your existence. It's the most important thing in your life, kids. Listen up. Okay. If you believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and he rose from the grave and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you turn from your sin. We call that repentance, okay? Repentance is, I'm walking towards sin. I love sin. Repentance is, stop. I don't want to sin. I want to follow Jesus. It's 180. Now I'm going to follow Jesus. That's repentance. You're going to turn from your sin and follow Jesus. If you believe he died on the cross for your sins, he rose from the grave, and you ask him to forgive you of your sins, and you turn away from your sins, and you follow him, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And you get to go to the promised land, eternity, spend the rest of your existence in the presence of the most awesome, beautiful, glorious, wonderful, adjective. We could just go on and on about how great he is. You get to spend eternity with him if you would believe. Now that's what happens for you for eternity, but today what happens is when you believe, he puts himself in you. That might sound weird. Ask your parents about it when you get home, okay? He puts himself in you. And he helps you obey. He teaches you how to love to obey. So kids, obey your parents. Number two, children, obeying your parents is good for you. Even if you don't realize it, you don't understand it, your parents want what's good for you, and they're giving you what is good, so obey them. Number three, children, obeying your parents honors them. This means that when you obey your parents, it's like saying, I respect you, and I'll do what you say, and I'll do it with joy. That's how you honor your parents. Number four, children, obeying your parents is obeying God. Okay, that's why he says in verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord. That in the Lord statement means that they're actually obeying the Lord. They're obeying in the Lord, but they're obeying their parents. So by obeying their parents, they're obeying the Lord. So their desire for a kid is to obey the Lord, and the way they achieve that is through obedience to their parents. So obeying kids, obeying your parents is obeying God. And it pleases God, it pleases your parents, and it honors them both. And finally, number five, children, obeying your parents will, listen up, kids, obeying your parents will make you happy. 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 Okay, I know what you think. You think, no, this is happiness. Right? Dad, can I have your phone? No. Why? Because it's bad for your brain. So? That's how my kids, so? And they just, you know, they want to be happy. And there are things in this world that give them some satisfaction, but it's not really happiness. And we got to train our kids happiness and joy and obedience. Parents, I'll give you one word. One word. Patience. Patience. If my mom was not a faithful, godly, praying, patient woman who sat on the couch at 6 a.m. every day of my life and prayed for me while I rebelled and sinned and challenged and hated them and rejected them and ran from the Lord and did everything that I shouldn't, I don't know where I would be. And when God, like the prodigal son's father, when God busts through the gate of the city and ran full speed to me and grabbed me and brought me home, you should have saw the joy in my mom's soul. I if the next time you see my mom here, just give her a hug. She deserves it. She deserves more. My dad too. I mean, just speaking direct about my mom, but if it wasn't for her patience, because she told me, she's like, there are times I just thought about giving up. It's not worth it anymore. But she was patient and she endured. Because of that, you have a pastor. All right? Who loves you. And I love you. And you, I know you guys love me. I feel it. You're just wonderful people. And I just want to encourage the I want strong families. You guys, you want to rock this community. You want to shake this world for the gospel. You want to build the kingdom?
Yes.
Yes. Starts in your home. Starts with your kids. You patiently enduring the training of raising your kids to obey. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We could not do anything right without you. Our righteousness comes from Jesus Christ alone. So help us to train our children in the righteousness that you have put in us. Help us to teach them the truths that we command from them. Give our kids a desire. Lord, I pray that in a most powerful way, you would bring your spirit to the soul of every child in this room, every single one, and you would grab their heart and you would soften and open it to not just obedience, God, but joy in obedience. We ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.